Woodstock was still 2 months away, and the trial of the Chicago Seven had yet to begin when this little British band called The Who released Tommy in May of 1969. Composed by guitarist Pete Townshend as a rock opera, the ambitiously conceived double album told the tale of a boy so traumatized by seeing his father shoot his mother's lover that he goes mute and loses his senses of sight and hearing. Tommy Walker remains isolated within a multi-layered dysfunctional family until he demonstrates this, the ability to play pinball, and the world rushes in. Two-time Tony Award-winning director Des McAnuff is here. Des, this production, spectacular. The worst review says spectacular. And I want to use these adjectives. Whammo, flip out, biff. Do you know where those come from?
No.
I wouldn't have either. I looked them up. Those are pinball expressions, right?
Oh yes, absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, Whammo, yeah, being a classic, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I want to start here. Because I could start just anywhere. I don't know where to start. This is so exciting. So I will start with you walking out on stage opening night and explaining why, hey, I'm here. Pete Townshend isn't. You said why he wasn't. So I want to know how Pete Townshend is, first of all.
Well, he's doing very well. He's out of the bubble with his wife, Rachel. And right now they are getting ready to play and start their UK tour in Hull in the north. And so he's doing great. I just literally got a message from him 15 minutes ago. So yeah, he's excelling, and he is going to come to Chicago.
Oh, can you give us the date, the time, all that?
I don't know the dates, but he is definitely coming. I know he's told me he's planning the trip, so there's no question he's going to be there.
And I asked about how he's doing because he had COVID, you explained to the crowd. And
yeah, his wife tested positive for COVID. The flight on British Air from, you know, Heathrow to Chicago was canceled outright, and it was a full flight. They didn't even try to get new equipment. And in the meantime, they had missed that, and Rachel tested, did a COVID test, and it turned out to be positive. So because of that, they both had to quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And if he made the flight, they wouldn't have been able to come to the show. So that would have been really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So in a way, this is perhaps better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Now, you've won two Tony Awards in 1985 for Big River and again for the show Tommy, the Who's Tommy, in 1993. This is the 30th anniversary. You decided to restage it. But I want to go back in time. How did you meet Pete Townshend in the first place and decide, well, this ought to be on stage?
You know, the sort of deep background, and I'll try to be succinct. There was a review in the LA Times by Dan Sullivan, who just passed away recently, and a critic there, and he basically had seen The Who play at the Universal Amphitheater and said, this is the greatest, you know, rock musical of all time. The only problem is we could never do it on stage with the same impact, you know, as The Who. And my assistant was reading this to me. I was at La Jolla Playhouse, and I basically said, rather perhaps smugly, oh, yes, they could, realizing that our theater would be able to do just that and to give it a really, you know, exhilarating production and make it levitate. So 2 years later, my partner in New York, Michael David of Dodger Theater, visits me in California, very unusual, and takes the trip out just so he can meet with me and says, how would you like to do Tommy? And without any hesitation, I said, yes, please. And I went then to London, met with Pete. We sat at a big board table with a lot of business people, and I kind of knew after 10 minutes of just whispering to each other that this was on. I had then a day and a half to just listen to all the recordings, and we met at the Portobello Hotel lobby. Nobody else was there, strangely enough. Nobody else came in the whole time we were meeting. It was supposed to be a one-hour meeting, and 4 hours later, we were still talking. So that's how it was born.
What is Pete Townsend like? Just between us. No one will know. Just you and me.
You know, he's an amazing man. If you think back on the fact that he wrote this when he was just 22, much of it came out when he was 23, I think that gives you some idea of the depth of the imagination. But he's also just a wonderful man, and we've become very close friends. Over the years, we spent an enormous amount of time together figuring this all out, and so when you spend, it's like kind of like being in it's being in the trenches without all of the bombs exploding. So it's still very intense. So I would describe him as a fiercely loyal artist. He's a very good collaborator. He's a brilliant raconteur. I would say he's an intellectual. He has a spiritual side. I remember we both had small children when we started this project, and they're both, you know, in their early 30s now. And I remember my daughter was at that age where she would assign labor to certain people. It was time to have her shoes tied because Pete and her mom and I were going out to a restaurant. Pete was there working with me, and we were going out for dinner. And it was time to tie her shoes, and she was too little. She was only a year and a half to tie her shoes. And so she said, "Pete, do it," because normally it would be Daddy do it or Mommy do it. And before I could intervene, there was Pete doing up my daughter's shoes. And I thought, well, this is very cool. This guy does windmills for, you know, 30,000 people, and there was no hesitation there. And I thought, this isn't just going to be a friend, it's going to be family.
And it kind of was that way, or has been that way. The revival, I suppose we can call it, at the Goodman Theater right now of Tommy, it has an end run, friends. I mean, really, if you're thinking at all about it, don't put it off, because the show's going to go to New York. Is that right? That's what I've read.
You know, this is from your lips to God's ears. I think there's a lot of conversations going on right now. And, you know, the commercial theater, as you know, is going through a bumpy patch. It's hit turbulence coming out of COVID. I think it would be great if it came to New York. It will go on somewhere for sure, but it's only going to be in Chicago through the first week of August. And you're quite right. Tickets are just flying off the shelf. And it is a revival, although I've always been squeamish about that word, because it reminds me of somebody, you know, a patient on their backs getting their hearts, you know, supercharged. And so a revival. So I don't know what to call it, but it's a brand new production. We really, top to bottom, it's new. And so it is very exciting.
Well, I want to talk about some of the excitement of Tommy. And we will do that, including what the story is really about. We will hear from the director who ought to know. Des McAnuff is here on WGN. Now, listen to this. And if I read all of them, it's like sit back for an hour and a half. I will rattle off some. Big River, Walk in the Woods, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Dracula, blah, 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 the musical, probably without the blah, 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 Jersey Boys, Guys and Dolls, that was a revival, Macbeth, funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. Then I'm looking for the Temptation Show, the Summer, Donna Summer musical, and wasn't there the Temptation Show? I don't see that in this list.
Yeah, it's called Ain't Too Proud,
Proud,
which is on in London right now, yeah.
All of those shows, and as I say, many more. I don't even know how you'd ever find time to revive, if that is the right word, Tommy. Why did you decide to do this? Is it that you're that much of a fan of pinball?
You know, first of all, just the pinball thing is interesting. You know, it's the last element Pete added he'd written the whole thing. It was very much about the spiritual journey that Tommy goes on, and they thought it was too lofty and a little effete without something to ground it. And so Pinball was, in fact, the last thing added, and Pinball Wizard was one of the last songs written.
Really?
Probably the most famous song, yeah. So it's interesting the way these things, kind of evolve. And so what happened was, we keep in constant touch. I ran Stratford Canada, and while the musicals always get most of the credits, I've probably done as much, Shakespeare and, classical theater and as I have musicals. So I was up there for several years. I worked a lot with the great actor Christopher Plummer. We did The Tempest and Caesar and Cleopatra. And I also did Tommy. I wanted to do that kind of for the audiences there, and I wanted to get back to it. But it was fairly, it wasn't faithful to the original, but it was some of the same designers, and it was a lot of the animation, the visual effects were modern, but and animated. But I felt like it was time to rethink it. And that was just sort of rattling around my brain. And then Pete came to visit me and said, let's go back, because we wrote the book together on this. And he said, let's base a screenplay on our version of the story rather than, Ken Russell did, was very much his own man, and he did his version. But Pete felt like it was time perhaps to do this as a film. So we did a screenplay, and during those conversations, it became clear that it was time to do it again on stage, and that's how this was born.
Do you think, so we had a discussion, I'm talking about me and my wife, after seeing the show, and we thought, and I've seen the other version, if you will, of Tommy, or another version, years ago.
Sure.
But today, I look at it differently. And I almost don't want to tell you what I'm about to tell you, but I will, because on the radio, you don't say I won't, that's not fair to listeners. So I'll tell you. I thought that maybe Tommy, and I never thought this before, because I don't know that we would have thought about this decades ago, but could it be that Tommy was on the spectrum?
I don't think so. No, to be honest with you, to be straight with you.
Well, you ought to know.
He suffers from, he's a fictional character, so you can read anything you want into it, really. And he is a child that suffers from trauma. And it is probably more than a single cause. Now, people that suffer from trauma, people that are autistic or on the spectrum, actually can, of course, be traumatized. Anyone can be traumatized.
Sure.
But we try to make it clear that Tommy is, and I don't like this word very much, but more or less a normal child. When autism enters your life, it's a behavioral condition that's there from the beginning. It doesn't necessarily always show up right away, but it is with you the whole time. He has three things happen. His father returns apparently from the dead. He's been missing in action. So when you're 4 years old and your dead father walks in the room, that's a ghost. If you've ever done theater for young audiences, a four-year-old thinks a witch is a witch. It's not somebody playing a witch. That's a witch. Mm-hmm. So that happens. And then there's a fight, and the guy who's becoming his father is shot, is killed before his eyes. And then his parents, following that, say, you didn't hear it, you didn't see it, you won't say nothing to no one ever in your life. And basically, in a sense, prophesy the condition that he's going to live with for years. So he retreats into himself and shuts down all his senses, shuts down existence as we know it. And so it's different than someone who has autism.
But the other thing that comes to mind, and this part, and I understand your point, but what's one of the many things great about the show, aside from the music, clearly, and the voices that perform that music, is the interpretation, because I can be sitting next to someone in the theater who can interpret it one way, and then the person next to them another way, and then on and on and on.
Sure.
Although you describe it very, very well. But I also saw what we would call today bullying. And again, the perception the perception is different today, isn't it?
I think so. You know, I think our perception of trauma itself is different, and certainly we're much more educated about trauma and about autism too, by the way. Absolutely. And I think child abuse and bullying are much more on our minds today than 30 years ago. And Tommy, I think, goes through entrapment of various kinds. He definitely disappears into this, you know, mystical world. And, you know, for those interested in such things, in South America, they might describe this genre as magic realism, where he sees his own reality and hears his own reality in the music, different from what everyone else is hearing. But to me, one of the things that makes the piece particularly contemporary is that it's not until the very end, when he frees himself of his followers, that he finally frees himself from them, that he's truly free. He becomes this kind of mythic guru, you know, whether he's a rock star or a political leader, and I think realizes that he runs the danger of leading his followers off the edge of a cliff. They're looking to him for answers that he doesn't have. And it's only at that point when I think he really gains freedom himself. And I think that makes it a really contemporary story. I think there are too many people, you know, looking to, the all-knowing for wisdom, when in fact we need to find it within ourselves. And I think that's his ultimate realization.
Yeah, I mean, what you just said is fascinating because we look for celebrities for that, right? We suspect, that these celebrities are going to be the all-knowing, that have answers to everything. We don't consider that the celebrities are going to tie a young child's shoelaces necessarily, but instead have all the answers to everything. And, of course, no one has all the answers just because they are a, quote, celebrity. What a pleasure
and
to talk.
What makes, I think, Tom is so different and so interesting is that he realizes that. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's very rare that a leader kind of realizes the folly or the potential folly of leadership. And that's what makes him, I think, kind of remarkably humane and worth falling in love with, Tommy Walker.
Well, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. Well, we kind of don't. You can go see the show yourself. It's at the Goodman Theater. And, man, if there's a must-see, this is it. Jefferson Awards, that's the Chicago version of the Tony. I can't imagine not. I'm shocked to hear that it's possible you won't even go to New York. I mean, how can this not be on Broadway? Des, an amazing production. Congratulations. And I hope to talk to Pete Townsend when he comes to town. That would be cool.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you so much.